I have a lesson that we're going to do today, God willing, that is not new. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's certain subjects you want to talk about, this over here, or this over here, or this over here, or this over yonder. But when it comes to Christmas, it's the same theme. It's the same people. It's the same everything. And so that one's a little harder to get through most of the time. And so what most of us who preach do is we rotate some of our favorite things. And so I'm all packed up for you today. But I just got shot in the head. But anyway, we're going to do some stuff. I'm not going to do all of it, but we're going to do some of it. And I want to tell you and remind you of who you are. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 1 to 20, in those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the whole Roman Empire. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. And so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth into Galilee of Judea to Benjamin, the town of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace, and those who have His favor rest." God is moving in this Christmas story. We call it Christmas. It was the birth of the Christ, however you want it. But it's a big story. It's a big story. Everything about this story has largeness to it. It's not a small story. It's not a small thought. In Micah 4 and verse 8, it gives you the hint there of the place of the birth. And it says, "O thou tower of the flock." Well, that didn't mean a whole lot to us in our world today, but to the Jews in that day, that was a big deal. This place was called, by the way, Migdol Eder, and it means the tower of the flock. It's a place where God's people would go every time when there was some change going on in the world. And Jesus Christ was about to make a change. They had called on Jehovah God for all of these years. And now, at the tower of the flock and the hill of the daughter of Zion, "Until thee shall it come, yea, the former dominion shall come in the kingdom of the daughter of Israel." There's a fellow, not alive now, his name was Alfred Edersheim. According to him, in his book that he created out of all of this, "The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah," says this, that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem was a settled conviction. Equally so, the belief was that it was to be revealed from Migdal Adar. That means that everything's in a certain place. And Edersheim has mined this whole thing. This guy is brilliant. Well, he's dead, but he was brilliant. It was a settled conviction that he was to be revealed at Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock. This was not a watchtower for ordinary flocks, which pastured on the barren sheep ground beyond Bethlehem, but it lay close to the town on the road to Jerusalem. And a passage that was written in the Mishnah leads to the conclusion that the flocks which were pastured there were destined to be sacrificed. Now, if they're going to be sacrificed, they're going to end up dead. Is that right? Jesus Christ would have been born in the very same town as King David. Not only that, he would assume the same throne as King David. According to Edersheim, he would have been born in the same place that thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs had been sacrificed. And Jesus is called whom? The Lamb of God. The whole deal about the Christmas story as we know it is not about getting fruitcake and getting all that and doing all that stuff. It was about the birth of the Messiah who would bring that which was holy and good into the community of the people so that the community of people could embrace this Jesus Christ. And then as things began to flourish after the birth of this child, Jesus began to be very popular among many people in Israel. But he was also, at the same time, very hated by people in the same cities. Jesus was destined to die. You couldn't have stopped it if you wanted to. And because of what Jesus did, when you came into Christ, when you made your allegiance with Jesus Christ in your baptism, what happened to you was what Jesus Christ had in him. He imputed his righteousness unto you. My question is, how righteous was Jesus Christ? Complete righteousness. If he imputes that to you, how much then are you righteous? Same righteousness. This is not about a Christmas story and eating cakes and cookies and all of that stuff. It's about where God took everything evil and offered to any who would stand with him in a covenant. And between all of that, us and him, we clean up a world. That's what it's about. Even though we're not that great, we're not anywhere close to who God is, except from what he put on us. Christmas story is a big story. And what God does for us is a huge story. And we're going to leave here today. We're going to go visit with some of our families. But what we need to do is be appreciative of the story of the Christ and the power of the Christ that's in that story. Once we do that, we'll know who we are and how to stay who we are. What do you think about that? Alan, let's sing a song.